Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 224. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, and comment, and just help me spread the word about the show. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically Woodway, for sponsoring these episodes and bringing them to you for free. As we all know, that Woodway is by far the best treadmill out there, and just great friends of Iron Game Chalk Talk and many strength coaches that listen. So if you're in the market for treadmills, please reach out to them. This week I'm joined by Kevin Vanderbush. He's the head strength coach at Ben Davis High School. He's been there 34 years, which is, I mean, you deserve multiple medals for that. And that's up in Indianapolis, Indiana. He's also a founding member of the National High School Strength and Conditioning Coaches Association. Coach, really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
You know, you've been, Ben Davis, 34 years, you know, and specifically in high school, and obviously the field has changed. I mean, 34 years ago, there was a lot of places, a lot of colleges that didn't even have strength and conditioning programs. You know, rather than kind of go through kind of where you've been and that type of thing, you've been in one place for most of that time. What is there a team? Is there a year? Is there a sport that you feel like, you know, during that time really kind of shaped you as a strength and conditioning coach?
You know, when I first came in, really was hired because we were fortunate enough to get a new head coach who'd been an assistant at Army and Purdue. And he'd seen strength coaching at the collegiate level and said, hey, we need to get this at the high school level. The school, Ben Davis also, at that same time, had gotten a group of coaches together and, you know, got a weight room. And they put some money toward that. So I was in the right place at the right time when I came out of school, and the football coach was a big proponent of it. So we kind of started mostly with, you know, the idea, the foundation was football. But we were in a school district where, even though large, you know, they'd only had 11 seasons, 500 or better, and 27 years of football. So, we were known mostly for our band, you know, not really known as an athletic school. We hadn't really won sectional in football, basketball, anything like that. So we were kind of starting from ground zero, but we felt like the idea of developing a strength training class and taking our athletes and making them faster, making them stronger, more powerful, physically, you know, changing their body composition, making them more confident, we could, you know, take this program to the next level. And it took us a couple of years. You know, first year was kind of rough. We started keeping track of club members and strength numbers and that type of thing. But once we got to about the third year, we kind of turned the corner. And then, the fourth year, we won the state. And that led to, you know, four state championships in 5 years, including a national championship. So I'd say that, you know, the big turnaround was that first year we were able to kind of break through and win state. For our kids and for our district and for the whole school, it kind of set a pattern that, you know, suddenly other sports started, you know, doing better. I mean, it was kind of a feeling that we can do this at this school. And I think a lot of times you see that at the high school level. When somebody breaks through in one sport, other sports get better because kids start thinking, you know, further down the line. You know, we can win. You know, we're not just a sectional type school. You know, we're the kind that can aspire to state championships. And so I think, you know, that first year that we win was kind of that springboard for, you know, many more later. So if I have to pick one, you know, I'd say that. Now, sure, there's some other years that were great. I mean, our national championship in girls basketball, things like that. But I'd say that the thing that got the ball rolling the most was that breakthrough, you know, right there in the late 80s. It kind of, catapulted us into much more success.
Yeah, it's crazy to hear because obviously I only know Ben Davis has 22 state championships and a couple of national championships. And to be thinking back that it was known for its band, that's crazy to me.
Well, we were always a large school, but, you know, just did not have a lot of success athletically. And, you know, that's something that I think, has really developed in some ways in our area, strength and conditioning, because once we started being successful, you know, I was visited by a ton of schools, you know, everybody in our conference, a lot of people in state, a lot of people throughout the Midwest, and they started getting high school strength coaches, bigger weight rooms. I mean, I've got a 6,200 square foot weight room that we built 17 years ago that's probably seventh or eighth biggest within 30 miles.
Wow.
You know, the bigger ones are being built. But by doing well athletically, people want to know what's the secret. And, you know, most of the athletic directors, coaches came in and said, well, we don't have this, and this is making, you know, a big difference in your program, and started putting it in. So I really think that kind of led to, you know, a lot of growth in strength and conditioning around the Midwest, is because you see a school like ours that just suddenly changed. Right. And that was really the only big change that occurred.
Well, we all know that it's not any one thing that leads to that kind of success, but obviously, you know, there's a strong case for the fact that that the strength and conditioning was a major player, no doubt about it. And, you know, you've been there through the early years, you've been there through the highs and the lows. You don't be in one place for 34 years without making a bunch of mistakes. You know, what's maybe one of the biggest mistakes that you've made, and kind of how you learn from it?
You know, when I first started, I found that there's a lot of things that happen that, you know, I think young strength coaches do this. You take things personally. It's like that kid that maybe acts up a little bit, you know, you're thinking it's something against you, or that coach that doesn't like this or that, you're thinking, okay, they're threatening my program. You know, but as you go on in years, I think you realize that, you know, that kid, it isn't anything to do with you. It's that kid's parents are suddenly divorced, or that kid got in trouble in another class, or whatever it is, and you learn how to deal with it differently. And, you know, for me, it's been, you know, the first few years, it was all about studying strength, conditioning, you know, flexibility, nutrition, that type of thing. But then I really quickly learned that this whole profession is so much more than that. It's about sports psychology. It's about motivation. It's about, you know, leadership. It's about, you know, learning how people work and pushing buttons. And, you know, so I've been an avid reader of, you know, psychology and self-help and those type of things, because I feel like that's really a bigger part of what I do than sets, reps, schemes, you know, the X's and O's of what we're doing. And I, you know, I'm fortunate that I picked it up pretty early, but, you know, that was, you know, early on, it was like, okay, you know, I'd confront a kid here or there, and I realized that, you know, I called him out, and, you know, I learned to just pull kids aside, talk to them one-on-one. I learned to, you know, go up to them and say, hey, are you having a bad day? You know, and kind of talk about something else rather than deal with the particular issue that kind of brought us there. So I'd say that was the biggest mistake I made early on, that I feel like, you know, it's a valuable lesson that, you know, you'd want to share with other young strength coaches.
Yeah, I've talked about this on the show quite a bit, but, you know, I've always said that that's one of the biggest mistakes I've made as well, is that confusing passion with emotion. You know, and where we're trying to show our passion, you know, that we're there for 14 hours a day, and that being there on time means something. That one instance when that kid walks in 5 minutes late, you have an emotional response to try to show that passion. And I think, I mean, that's such an important lesson, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, you mentioned high school strength and conditioning, you know, being something that, you know, obviously not just from a performance standpoint, where you are case study number one of how you could implement a strength and conditioning program and lead to tons of success. But there's all kinds of additional benefits to having a strength and conditioning coach at the high school level. You've got, you know, another voice, obviously the decreased risk of liability. You've got, you know, long-term athletic development. You have, you know, long-term health, you know, that are all things that can come about from that. I mean, diving right into it, Kevin, what do we got to do as a profession to get it to where there's a strength coach at every high school?
You know, the thing about high school strength and conditioning right now is that if you went from school to school, you'd find everything from the phys ed teacher who's in charge of the weight room, or the defensive coordinator who's put in charge of the lifting, to the, you know, guy that's in a position like mine where it's a full-time strength coach where, you know, all I have to study is strength and conditioning. So, you know, I think that the word has to be spread, I think, through sport coaches, because I think it has to come from the bottom up as opposed to the top down. We've written articles to athletic directors, and we've done all that kind of stuff, but I don't think you necessarily get a strength coach because, you know, a superintendent decides it's important originally, or, you know, things like that. I think it's more of you get the athlete's parents to understand the importance. You get the sport coaches, you know, on board with you. You know, it's a groundswell from underneath that says, hey, if we're going to, you know, have an athletic program in our school, and we want our kids to be successful, and the successes that you know, and the other components that you can gain from being successful in an athletic field, how are we best going to do it, and what resources are we not giving our kids? Well, if you don't have a strength and conditioning program, you've left out a key component. I mean, when I'm hired to come in and do consultations with schools, I let them know this is the biggest thing you can do to allow for more success across the board in your athletic program. And so if you don't have a solid strength and conditioning program that everybody is on the same page with, and, you know, the next step being you don't have somebody that oversees it, you know, that is that expert in the area that makes sure thing, you know, is consistently run throughout the day, and that, you know, and all the things you mentioned, the liability factor and so forth, that you're not giving your kids all that they need. I think we're taking the same route that athletic trainers took a while ago. You know, nobody, schools now won't think of, you know, putting somebody in charge of injuries that doesn't have some type of certification. You know, you just don't have that guy out that's just kind of throwing salt pellets out and, you know, he's got some athletic tape. It's going to be somebody who's certified. And I think, you know, we'll get there, but I think it's going to take a little bit more work because it's going to take people in administrative type roles who've come through with the understanding that strength and conditioning is an important component. I think the same thing happened at the collegiate level. You know, I think originally the college ADs weren't necessarily ones that grew up with it, and until they understood the importance and sport coaches pushed for it, you didn't see it, you know, develop the way it has now. So I think we're just kind of that step below that has to go through that. And I think that, you know, the organization that we've developed is going to be big because now suddenly we've got an opportunity for people to kind of, hey, how do you go about convincing the athletic director? How do you go about convincing the sport coaches? You know, we've got different templates we can give to other people on people who've been successful in getting that out. So before there wasn't anything like that. So, I mean, I think it was kind of stagnant in part because of that.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into the organization. But, you know, before we do, obviously, I mean, you're in a great situation where they've bought into it early and they've been through it and seen the successes. I've often talked to my interns and other coaches that have come through, and I always talk about building your own opportunity. If you're having trouble finding a job, when there's a limited pool of jobs right now, is finding and creating your own opportunity. And in my mind, there's no bigger opportunity that exists right now for strength coaches than to go create opportunities at the high school level. When you're talking dollars and cents, which is what that's, you know, from that top down that you mentioned with the ADs, I mean, the ADs and the superintendents, they're looking at dollars and cents in the bottom line. When you're talking to the parents and coaches, what are some creative ways that you found or that you recommend, you know, strength coaches or parents or boosters or whatever, find those dollars and cents that make it so that you can even get the opportunity to make the impact that you've made and others have?
You know, one of the biggest selling points to high schools is the idea that, you know, I've had as many as 420 athletes in six periods. Okay, that's 420 students that aren't in another class,
right,
that you're paying another staff member to monitor. So, I mean, I can have pretty high athlete to teacher ratio, you know, within my and still work with it. So, you know, schools are looking for ways to save money. Well, if you've got, you know, it comes out of the PE department funds, you know, you're paid as a PE teacher and then given a coaching stipend later, it's not quite the, you know, the chunk that comes out of athletic budget, you know, because I'm, you know, I get a coaching stipend after school, but, you know, most of my salary is a teaching salary.
Right.
So that comes out of general fund. So it's not the same dollars and cents hit that some people who just hire a strength coach from outside that are paying that full salary, that full-time salary, out of athletics or something else. So I think, you know, that helps. But I also think, you know, you got to look at other programs around the schools and you kind of point to them. You know, we have a marching band. You know, they're paying a lot of people to run that marching band. They're offering classes during the day. They're giving people money in the summer to do that. We have show choirs. You know, we have journalism classes. We have things like that for kids who show an above average interest or ability in a certain area. You know, why not take our athletes who fit into that, you know, and make sure that they have, you know, access to that kind of thing. So I think by showing the importance, I think it helps. I think that, you know, in a lot of cases, sometimes it has to start small. I mean, you might be that guy who's, who teaches something else that you really like to be a full-time, but you start working the after-school program. You start having kids come in during the study hall. You know, we've talked about, you know, make the big time where you are, Frosty Westering. Yep. But I really think that's an important, you know, way to live, is that within your program, maybe it's just one team you're working with. You know, maybe it's just a handful of kids. But that spreads because those kids become successful. People say we want to get more involved. If you look back to the founding of the NSCA, you know, Boyd Epley had a handful of guys in the, you know, that were injured, you know, in a weight room somewhere that, you know, suddenly somebody caught on and says, we're going to hire you as a strength coach. I mean, I really think that hasn't changed a whole lot. In many situations, that's how you got to start out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And like you said, I mean, it might be a Frankenstein where you're pulling from lots of different resources to make the opportunity. But once you do have the opportunity, that's where we have to make the most of it. And you've done that, and so many else's like Boyd have as well. You know, one of the most frustrating things, I have four kids now, all in high school. And, you know, I've got a lacrosse and a cross-country runner, and my son's a pretty accomplished wrestler. And there has been nothing more frustrating to me than to try to train them in the weight room. You know, and so I know, you know, high school, there's a unique skill set that has to be there to work with that population, you know, and not just any strength coach. I mean, I'm a fairly good strength coach, but getting my son to, you know, to do things was quite a bit differently than getting my 19, 20-year-old freshman, you know, to do things. You know, what are some of the unique challenges that you see and skill sets that you think are critical for a high school strength and conditioning coach?
You know, all you have to do is talk to a few college guys that have tried to go to the high school level. You know, I don't say down to the high school level because I could give you 10 reasons why the high school strength coaching position is better than any collegiate position.
No question.
But when the college guys go to high school, it's a whole different set of variables that they're dealing with. You know, at the collegiate level, you know, they had interns, they had GAs, kids came in at certain different times, there weren't large numbers, they didn't have to deal with setting up or designing a class, that they had much better facilities. So even just before you talk about what it takes to work out a high school age athlete, you've got to be pretty good about the whole organizational structural system to where you can say, okay, this is the amount of time I have. Okay, this is what I need to get done. How do I map that out? Much of the work to me that goes into being a high school strength coach is done before the kid walks in the room. You've got to have a system set up to where that kid's going to know where to go, when to go, how long to be there. And, you know, you've got a limited amount of equipment. How am I going to organize it to where I get kids that are, nobody's sitting around, everybody's moving through. So I really think, you know, the big thing that needs to be taught with, you know, in high school strength and conditioning, the big thing that's easier, that's different from other, is the parameters that you've got to work with. Then as far as the kids themselves, you know, you're working with everything from a 14 and 15-year-old that's prepubescent to an 18-year-old that probably could be, you know, look like they could be 22 years old. And you're working with them a lot of times at the same time. You know, many times you're in situations where you're working with five or six different sports at once. It's not like collegiately where you get the, you know, the football team comes in and the basketball team comes in. You're working with all athletes, sometimes both genders at the same time, you know, which – at the high school age, you try teaching a co-ed class where you've got guys and girls in the same room. You know, there are things like that that I think you have to be really good at. The high school kid, to me, is in the toughest time of his life. Yep. I mean, he's dealing with, I want to be an adult, but I'm not an adult. My parents are still, you know, pushing rules on me, yet I feel like I ought to be able to make up the rules. At the same time, they're wanting to track the opposite sex. They're trying to figure out what to wear. They're breaking out with acne. There's all kinds of issues that they're dealing with that are way, you know, tougher than what we deal with later on. So I think you have to be in tune with that. And, you know, and that's a conversation I have with kids a lot of times is, you know, all the other junk that's in their life, and use strength and conditioning or use sport or whatever to kind of be a release, be your opportunity to kind of get away from that, in addition to being a pattern for how to be successful later on. But, yeah, I mean, that's – It's an entirely different animal. That's why for many years I got very frustrated in attending conferences where I would go and maybe hear one high school speaker at most, but they'd be college guys talking and so forth. And I'd say, you know what? That doesn't fit. You know, I can't make that work in a 35-minute class with 80 kids. You know, it sounds good, but it's, you know, square peg, round hole. It can go work. So when I'm attending conferences, I've got to look and say, hey, does that fit my situation? And, you know, that's why, you know, for so many years I'm frustrated at conferences in that there aren't more high school speakers. There aren't more people to talk in, you know, the same language I am, because it's a whole different thing.
Right. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, and firsthand knowledge of training my kids, I know that it is. And I agree with you. I often say it. I mean, you look at most European countries and countries around the world, I mean, their best coaches are at the youth level, their academy level, because it is such a more difficult job to set the foundation the right way for later on. But I agree with you. Part of the frustration of not seeing those high school presentations at national conferences and not really feeling like there's a voice for the high school strength coach led to you, Fred Eves, Gary Schofield, you know, Rich Gray, creating the National High School Strength and Conditioning Coaches Association. And, you know, there's a lot of people that would say, well, why not just try to do that as a special interest in the NSCA, or why not do that, you know, as other ways? What was the goal from the beginning with the NHSSCA, and why should a coach at the high school level join?
You know, we tried to do, you know, through other organizations, you know, we were the head of the executive councils and the special interest groups and that type of thing. But what we found was nobody had the same vision that we did. You know, for us, it was looking at things like, we want a full conference of high school speakers. We want registration fees that are low enough for a high school guy that doesn't get it, you know, paid for by a school district to get in there and do it. We want it regionally located so a guy doesn't have to travel. We want it to where you can just go into a school and see it happen. We don't need, you know, the Paris Hotel. You know, the guys that come to our events are more about what they can pick up from networking and so forth than they are about hitting the town. And we saw this last year at our national conference. You know, I had over 300 people, and this is like 3 months after we've established the, you know, the organization, we're getting that many people in. But everybody said, you know, everybody was engaged. You didn't find people in the hallway while people were speaking. Everybody wanted to come in and hear what was going on. Everybody felt more comfortable talking to other people because they knew that they were high school. They had, you know, similar type situations. So, you know, we really felt like in order to get all these things that we've been talking about for a number of years, our own work. There were things like, you know, having the coaches of the year that are state coaches, developing state directories, having a Hall of Fame, you know, to honor, you know, coaches that have been around a while, having, you know, things to honor within each state, different kids that are working hard and, you know, have different guidelines for that. I mean, to develop something like our Facebook page that we have now that has 2,500 people on it, that people would ask questions specifically about high school strength and conditioning, have a number of other people that would want to respond. I mean, all of these things were not available in any other organization, so we felt like we had to create our own. We had to make sure that, you know, we did something that kind of met all our needs without having to jump through all the hoops that we would have to if we did it any other way. And, you know, we kind of got pushed out in some ways of, you know, other places. So we kind of thank them for not following through, because it allowed us to, you know, create something that we think is pretty special. And, you know, we're not even a year old yet. You know, it's at the end of October that we have our 1 year anniversary. Yeah, and right. Yet, you know, we've already got 8 conferences set up for next year, a national conference. We've got, you know, resources that are starting to come in. All these things are happening in a short time because there's so many people out there that realize there was a need for something specific to this age group.
Yeah, I think it's one, commendable, and it's just a lesson for every coach that's out there listening that, you know, it's amazing what a couple of passionate, motivated strength coaches can do in 1 year. You know, and if you link back to the beginnings of the CSCCA or the beginnings of the NSCA, it was done with the same type of passion and energy. And I agree 100% that there needs to be its own voice, because it's got its own unique sets of challenges and And bottom line is, it's just, you know, we have to be able to meet coaches where they're at, whatever level they're working at. And I think you guys are doing a phenomenal job as an organization. I think if you're a strength coach, a high school strength coach, and you're not a member, you should absolutely be. And then I know that you mentioned the 8 regional events. The national event's going to be at Brian Clark's place, right, in Noblesville?
Yeah, Noblesville.
This year.
Yeah, something else I'd like to just add on that is that, you know, being a paid member isn't about, are you getting a T-shirt, are you getting a certificate, or whatever it is. It's about the idea that by joining this organization and being a paid member, you're investing in high school strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just, you know, what can I get from this, but more like if we continue to develop this, everybody will win. So, I mean, we've had some people who say, okay, you know, $100 to be a member, you know, what am I really getting from it? But, you know, I think you got to look beyond that, you know, because if we continue to get this thing going the way it can eventually be, it's like people investing in Apple or Microsoft. It's going to be a big thing. You're going to invest it in something that is going to help strength and conditioning, you know, coaches, you know, all over the country suddenly have jobs, you know, get paid more, have access to more resources, things like that, that, you know, I think will be the future of what we're, you know, heading toward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, so much of what we need to do as a profession, because we are still a relatively young profession. I mean, the profession is 60, 70 years old, you know, mm-hmm. You know, when it's all said and done and we hang up our whistle, we got to think about the type of legacy that we left, you know, and the footprint that we left. And, you know, by being a part of something that's, you know, that changes, it helps change the profession, helps shape the profession. I can think of no better legacy other than working with athletes and the ripple effect that comes with that. But I couldn't agree with you more. I wanted to talk quickly about two things that you do that are pretty unique at Ben Davis. You have a lift competition that at this point now 10,000 athletes have gone through. You know, quickly, briefly, what is it and why is it special?
Well, you know, I work pretty extensively with our football program. I mean, we've got it to where, you know, in 3 grades, because we're really a 10 through 12 school with a freshman annex. So our freshmen are on a different schedule during the day. But in 10 through 12, you know, we'll have 140, 150 football players. You know, so when I run my preseason conditioning program, you know, we'll get most of them there. It'll be 130, 140 kids on one night, you know, with me running that. So we've got quite a few kids in our program. Well, we're always looking for opportunities to kind of help motivate them. One of the things we looked at was, you know, how in the off season can we kind of get them to bond together as a team? How can we get them to really push towards something, set goals? And, you know, we came up with, you know, the idea of a lift contest. In fact, the first year that I was there, we kind of had gone to somebody else's and then decided we can run it better, you know, and we can make it specific to what, you know, we're wanting to do. So what we do is, you know, it's always, you know, kind of the end of February, beginning of March, which works out well with our school calendar. It's a time when, you know, our football kids have been in their off season, extra lifts after school for a period of time. But, you know, we've brought as many as 12 to 14 schools in. You know, the lowest I think it's ever been is about 8 or so. And the schools are allowed to bring in, you know, initially we had to keep it a little bit smaller, you know, whether it's like 32, whatever, but I think we're up to about 54 that they can bring in. Being the host school, you know, all our kids are involved just because, you know, we're the ones setting up the equipment and all that. But what we do is we have each school bring in 4 coaches to help work it. So we set it up in a way to where we're in this large, you know, 4 basketball court running track type gym, to where we have on the far side, kids are running 40-yard dash. Now, you're saying, why are we running a 40-yard dash in a lift contest? Well, we're pushing the idea that this is an off-season football motivational thing. It's not Olympic lifting. It's not powerlifting. Right. It's going to be doing what our kids do as football players. You know, we'll have 8 squat racks set up. We'll have 8 clean stations set up. We'll have 8 benches set up. You know, kids are divided into 4 different groups. They rotate around. They get all those things done in one day. And when we finish up, you know, we take all the handheld times and we electronically time the top 20 guys with, you know, 400 kids cheering for them as they're running that. Then we go to a, you know, bracketed tug of war competition. Each team's, you know, each school gets 11 kids, you know, that they put on there, you know, and you go through the whole bracket with that. So what you have is an opportunity for, you know, kids to get excited about each other as a team. They meet some other kids from other schools. You know, we can teach them about, you know, discipline. We can teach them about helping other kids out, you know, spotting other kids from other schools, you know, carrying themselves well. And there's so many different teaching points that we can do with this. At the same time, you know, our kids are motivated. They want to be those kids that bring home the trophy at the top. They want to be, you know, we have a team award where we're taking the, you know, top 22 kids strength per pound using a coefficient along with the top 22 kids total pounds. And we've got a formula, you know, that kind of measures, you know, one team to another. So it allows a lot of kids to feel like they're part of the team awards in addition to, you know, each individual thing. So it's been a great motivator for our kids, a great off-season, you know, challenge for them. And I think it's our first opportunity to compete as a team leading into the next year, because they're only, the only kids that can be involved are kids who are eligible to play that following year. I mean, we're not seniors on there. We have, you know, in the spring, these are the juniors, the sophomores, the freshmen that are going to be next year's, you know, sophomore, junior, senior.
And you do that, what time of year do you do that again?
End of February, beginning of March.
You know, you mentioned earlier about the obligation you kind of feel to coach character and to build leadership and all the intangibles that go into sport. I know you've tied in your club standards in, you know, into kind of wins, losses, and things along those lines. Explain that a little bit.
You know, again, when we first started, there was kind of a feeling of, you know, we need to develop some clubs that are, you know, especially our football team, but all kids at our school are going to aspire to. And when we first started out, we had, you know, some kind of body weight type things where, you know, you bench your body weight 10 reps or 1.5 times your body weight squat 10 reps and some things like that just to get it going. But then we also had these bigger clubs that we felt like, you know, if our kids are really going to be successful on the football field, we're going to have some kids that can squat 400 pounds, bench 300 pounds, you know, clean 235 or more. And I got those standards from basically looking at bigger, faster, stronger, who at the time – that was with their All-State. You know, I found since then that, you know, 400-pound squat and a 300-pound bench are totally different than the number of kids you can get, as well as a 235, which is way too low. Because, you know, I'm getting 65 kids that can clean 235. You know, I'm not getting that many that can bench 300. So, you know, even though I've seen that the standards are off, we kept those so we can keep track of that because we've got data now for 34 years. Well, we found in the first 20 years that I was there that – when the club total got above 76 club members, our average record was 13-1. When it was below 76 club members, we were 7-4. So there was a very strong correlation in those first 20 years with how strong we were and how well we did in the football field. Now, the thing that's changed since then that doesn't allow for the exact correlation like that is that the first 20 years, when we had that lift contest, we could get three teams, our first group, our second group, and our third group that could have been first, second, and third.
Yeah.
You know, we were that far advanced from, you know, the people that came and the area. But the last 15 years, you know, everybody's got strength coaches, everybody's got weight rooms, everybody's in the class. So our advantage isn't the same. Now, I still feel like we're the strongest, fastest, you know, whatever team around. But it's a much smaller gap. To where, you know, in order to win, we also need a quarterback, we need a running back, we need some of these other things where we can't get by with just, you know, something average there. It's got to be special. So, you know, yeah, I'm big on, you know, keeping numbers and data and all that and its correlation and so forth. I'm as competitive as anybody, you know, wanting to do well. I mean, as I mentioned, you know, to you in the past, you know, we've averaged 10 wins a year for 30 years after – having a school that, you know, 47 years of football only had 11 years of 500 or better. So we feel like we've done something special. But I really feel like my main job is not that. My main job is that when I go into school each day, that I have an opportunity to mentor, counsel, advise somebody, and I can make a difference in their life. And if I come home at the end of the day and I can add those up, okay, then it doesn't matter what our teams do. You know, when I talked at the national conference, one of the big things that I wanted to point out was that, you know, I had a slide where I had the All-State Championship rings on one side and the thank you notes I've gotten on another. And I'd much rather have the thank you notes than the championship rings. I mean, that to me is more about what I stand for than just being successful, as some people put it. But instead, I want to be significant, you know, to where I make a difference in kids' lives.
I think that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. You've been in the field for 34 years. You know, 30 years from now, what do you hope has been accomplished?
You know, 30 years from now, I will be really disappointed if every single high school doesn't have a full-time strength coach running the weight room. Every school doesn't have a weight room that's just as important as having a football field or a basketball court. That's pretty much everybody understands the importance of strength and conditioning. You know, that it just, it becomes a part of every, you know, high school's curriculum. It's just, it's something that's taught because, you know, if we're going to teach advanced math, we're going to teach advanced physical education, which is basically, you know, weight training and athletic enhancement for the kids who show above average interest or ability. So if that doesn't happen in 30 years, then we're not really meeting these goals we've kind of set, you know, as a part of the organization. And, you know, those that have been around a while kind of pushed toward.
Well said. Well said. Well, we end the show with some resources here, Coach. What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Well, you know, to me, I'm going to go back to some of the legends of coaching, just in general, because, you know, coaching book I can get my hands on. But the two things that kind of stand out to me philosophically, one is that, I'll paraphrase a little bit here, but Vince Lombardi, you know, talked about doing simple things with excellence versus complicated things done poorly. And if you look at the program, you hear me, there's some structure to it, and, you know, you've kind of excelled in making something simple be successful, and that's really a huge compliment to me because that's kind of one of my goals, is that I not overcoach, that I not throw in things that aren't necessary, that I not feel like everything that I learn, everything that I see, I've got to use. So I think that's important. But the other one is Johnny Wooden's, you know, talking about, you know, you don't live a perfect day unless you have helped someone who can't help you. And I look at that both from a coaching standpoint in that, you know, when I first started, I used to send out, you know, people that have gotten this, and probably 1,000 have, where I send out about 8-10 emails because I can only fit a certain number of attachments on each email. So I send all these emails out. And like I've said, you know, in some of my speeches, one of my student assistants looked at me one time, just put all that on there and share that folder. You know, and since then, it's like, okay, this is so much easier. It takes me about 2 seconds, what used to take me 15, 20 minutes per coach. But, you know, the thing is that I'll share anything I have. You know, every presentation I've got my athletic enhancement routine is on YouTube. You know, all those things I want people to have access to. Because when I first started, the first thing I did was I sent, because you didn't have email back then, you know, a letter to all of the major colleges throughout the country, and said, can you send me your manual? Because back then they were allowed to do that. You know, and it was like Christmas. I was getting a huge stack of all these manuals from all these coaches that I had to look at their program, seeing what they're doing nutrition-wise, what they're doing agility-wise. And I always said, if I ever get into that position where I can help people out, I want to be able to do that. So I do that coaching-wise, but I don't think – I think it's when you're working with kids. You know, these kids aren't necessarily going to help you in any way ever. You know, and it's not, as a strength coach, it's not even about wins. It's not like my name is put beside, you know, anything. And then there are a lot of kids that aren't even a part of the wins. You know, they're just a part of kids you know, you come in contact with, you get an opportunity to counsel or mentor. I mean, to me, you know, that's what it's all about. Trying to figure out ways that you can help other people, coaching wise, kid wise, and so forth. That doesn't mean, you know, you're getting anything in return other than that sense of satisfaction that comes from sharing, serving, doing those things.
Well, I couldn't agree anymore. I've told people, I wrote in my book that, you know, one of the best things that I credit in my development was getting manuals from coaches. You know, it is exactly right. It was how you presented the information. And I think that's very noble of you to continue that tradition, not just with other coaches, but with your athletes. What about a book? I know you don't use apps, but a book and a website recommendation.
Well, I mean, I've read probably about 500 books in the last, you know, at least 25, 35 a year.
Right.
You know, so I'm big on reading. But I wanted to throw a couple out that most people probably don't have on their shelf, giving some people something different. I don't know if you can see this. What Drives Winning.
Yep.
Okay, Ledbetter. All right? Brett Ledbetter. It's great for – it's a building character. It's got a bunch of great stories in it. It's got different anecdotes. It's got the kind of thing that especially, I think, the coach at the high school level, but all people, I think, look at and say, you know – how can I develop character within the people I'm working with and really have a better understanding of a lot of the different factors that go into it? So I think that's a great one. And the other one here is Pat Williams. See if I'm getting in front of the camera there. Humility.
Yep.
You know, Pat Williams has got a ton of great books. I don't think enough people know about him as an author, but he's got, you know, a book, you know, What Makes a Champion, that it's like, could be just a, you know, I put on the Facebook page recently, it's an outline for a speech that you give all high school kids. But he's got a number of things that I think are geared in a way that, you know, teamwork and some of these other things that any high school coach should read, because there's so many times when you're working with a high school athlete that you draw upon things that, you know, you can't necessarily quote where you got it from. But it's because you've read so much that it just comes out. It's like you just feel like you have that information that you can, you know, give to that kid or counsel him in a certain way, because you constantly read about all these things and it becomes second nature for you. So, yeah, those two. And then as far as the website, of course, the NHSSCA.us. We are now getting to the point where we're putting resources on there. You know, we, you know, when you start an organization, you think you can do everything overnight. That's right. It's like, okay, this, let's get it done, you know, get everything figured out. So we are finally to the point where, you know, people are going to start, you know, putting some different resources on their articles, videos, things like that. So I'm hoping that continues to grow. And you know, we're doing the Facebook page for free, and we hope we can continue to do that. But we have to have paid members in order for the organization to keep going. You know, we want to use that as our introduction, but then that web page is going to resources for paid members that they feel like, you know, that investment is worth it. So that, along with, like, we've got a couple of days coming up. I mean, I don't know when this exactly comes out, but, you know, the end of this month, we've got different places where Gary Schofield's high school, my high school, people are just coming in and networking. We're talking about strength and conditioning. It's a free thing to members. So we're looking for, you know, things like that to allow members to have. But yeah, as far as apps go, I'm afraid that I'm probably a little bit old school in some ways, if you want to use that term or whatever, but, you know, maybe I need to be better on social network and so forth, but I've used so much of my time that, you know, if I've got extra time, I'm reading. Yeah. If I've got other time, I'm spending with family or doing other things, but I'm also, you know, when I'm working with kids, we don't have time to pull out phones, pull out iPads, and really in my environment, it wouldn't be smart anyway. You know, they wouldn't last long there. So my kids are better served, I think, by, you know, some different ways of going about things.
Well, man, this has been awesome. And, you know, not only are you a guy that has done it at a really, really high level for a lot of years, but more importantly to me is I've been the recipient of some of those emails in the past. I've been, you know, I've been in the audience when you've spoken. You've been a friend through the years, and just the amount of work that you've put in to give back to the profession and to leave it better than you found it is so commendable, and should be something that we all strive for as coaches. And so I appreciate you being a great example. I appreciate you, you know, giving up your time and resources to help leave a legacy with a new organization and the stamp that you've put on the other organizations, because let's not forget that either. But this episode is a must watch for anybody in the profession, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I'd like to say one last thing here. If there's, you've got a broad audience, probably, you know, huge. But if there are high school guys or anybody in general that want the resources that I have, you know, I know you put my email address on there. Email me. Be glad to send you what I've got. You know, that Google Drive folder that has all kinds of presentations, links, and so forth, because, you know, I want to share with as many people as I can, and, you know, feel free to contact me, email questions, whatever. Always interested in doing that. It makes me better, but it also allows me to serve.
Absolutely, Coach. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.